I was just noting I had the misfortune of leaving my Gemara in my talis bag, so I went downstairs, grabbed the Gemara, so I ended up with the Koren Na'edition. Noah edition.
I had the misfortune. I had the misfortune of ever seeing the world with.
I'm sorry?
It's okay.
I said, you do have that misfortune. I had the misfortune of ever sleeping.
Okay. Well, good. Baruch Hashem, everybody's here starting at the same time. I was just going to note as we start, for the grammar geeks among us, they vowelize, they have the nekudot of karetot, right? Meaning the plural of karet.
Yeah.
Instead of kretut, which we say.
Put it in Hebrew, not in Aramaic. That's the difference. It's Hebrew.
It definitely is Hebrew.
Yeah. Kretut is Aramaic.
Right. It's also Hebrew, but for a different term.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I thought it was the two Hebrew terms. I thought the Masechtas were named in Hebrew. Maybe I'm wrong.
They shouldn't be, but they are. I don't know.
No? Were the Masechtas not based on Mishnaic Hebrew?
I think so.
Because it's Mishnais.
But it has Aramaic influence.
Yes, even at that time.
Aramaic influence. That's why I said Aramaic.
Right. I always thought it was Kretut, as in Vechatav la Sefer Kretut.
Yeah.
I know the same exists, though. The same grammatical tension exists in a number of other Masechtas, particularly Yevamos versus Yabmut. Yeah. There's lots of fun stuff.
But you can see, the Aramaic influence, because all of the plurals end in nuns, not in mems.
Yes. Yes. That's classic rabbinic Hebrew.
That's why it's Aramaic influence.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
And just so we're on the same page, literally, for mass,
Okay, so yesterday we did the Mishnah. Let's just go over the Mishnah. What are we on? Let me just find it
Amud
here.
Vav Amud
Beis. Vav Amud Beis, yeah. Croesus. Meal over here.
We're starting at the top.
Here's Meal. Okay.
He's got to find the page for speed.
Yeah. It's
be patient, everybody.
Right. They have a very interesting way of organizing this, that's for sure.
That's what I told you.
Yeah. Anyways, maybe I should do a book review. Anyways, okay. So we have now Vav Amud Beis, Daf 6 Amud B. That's what it says here.
Yeah.
And so basically, let's just review the Mishnah briefly, and then we'll move on to the Gemara. So the Mishnah had told us, okay, we had a machlokas. If you had Kodshei Kodashim meat that went out before you did Zrika, okay? And then brought back in, and then you Zrikad it. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ma'alin bovin chayavan alav mishum pikol nozer v'tame. Rabbi Eliezer says, the Zrika is absolutely meaningless. Okay, it was taken out, it's gone. Okay, as a result, Me'ila remains, and there's no additional liability for pigol, nosar, and tummy, which are various issues that can arise with the korban. Rekiva disagrees and says, no, nevertheless, the sprinkling does have some effect. It is enough to take away me'ila still, and you are going to be chayev if you additionally had pigol, nosar, and tummy. Rekiva brought a proof, a very complicated proof, but from the case, and we'll discuss this proof along with the original machlokas today in the Gemara, hopefully. Although, Rabbi Akiva says, basically, if you separated a chatas and then it got lost and you've got another one and then you bought them both and you slaughtered them both, and basically what his point is, if the sprinkling of the blood will poter the other animal from mi'ila, okay, so if you sprinkle the blood of one of the two chatos that you slaughtered, the other one leaves mi'ila as well. So for sure, over here, where it just went out for a second, the sprinkling of the blood should be able to do that, because just like over here, and again, there's an issue that it went out. Over there, there's a big issue that it's a chatas that was nevad, or was considered mosar chatas, because you had a second one, it was extra. So therefore, he says, if it works in that case, if the sprinkling works in that case, to take it out from Ila, for sure, it works also in this case. Now, then they had the exact same machlokas, again, with slight different applications to the case of Emurim Kachim Kalim. Because again, the difference between Kachik Adashim and Kachim Kalim is whether or not they start off with Me'ila. Kachik Adashim start off with Me'ila because they're fully Hashem's, and in order to take them out of Me'ila, we need to perform, again, certain parts of the ritual in order to make them no longer fully Hashem's, whereas the opposite is true with certain parts of the Kachim Kalim. Those that go to Hashem only become sanctified and only become obligated in Me'ila after a certain point, so they had the same issue if they were brought out of the courtyard and then brought back in. Rabbi Lazar says there's no me'ila, meaning again, it remains, the zrika does nothing, it's ineffective, and because they were brought out, Rabbi Akiva says there is me'ila, and you have pigol, nosar, and tame because it was effective. Okay? All good? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was
not
the...
Not really. No.
No?
Does
okay.
it really make sense? I don't really follow Rabbi Akiva's logic that that there's no me'ila.
Okay, so...
Because in one case, you've done something wrong. You took the sacrifice out mm-hmm. of the temple area.
Right.
You're not supposed to be doing that, but people make mistakes. If you make a mistake, you lose something. It's not an intentional thing that you've done wrong.
Yeah, you
well, that's more in line with the view of Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva says the Zrika can sort of salvage it almost. Right? Meaning, again, it starts out in a state of Me'ila. Right? A regular Kodesh Kadashim, from the moment it's sanctified, has Me'ila. Now we're trying to remove it from Me'ila. The question is, did the fact that it left the courtyard make it unsalvageable, so to say? And Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Eliezer says yes.
But the act is intentional. I mean, Frank suggested that they unintentionally took it out. You know you can't take it out. That's one of the primary rules.
It's so true, but anything can happen by mistake or on purpose. Again, the guy wasn't paying attention. I recently learned the sugya of mitzvos srichos kavana.
Yeah.
Whether or not you need to have intention when performing mitzvos. There's a lot of discussion there of all the different possible scenarios where someone could think this thing about the circumstance and someone could think that about the circumstance. It's not unreasonable to say that, someone had a brain freeze and just in that moment, it doesn't mean it's necessarily always intentional. It's true that that's a much broader reason that's easily applicable to all korbanos, so it is harder to assume that, but I'm not sure it's impossible that it was done unintentionally.
See, it questions what the thought is. The question is whether the thought was to take it out. That was the thought, or was the thought to take it out because it was going to be a korban? There's two different thoughts there.
Right.
The thought just
and by the way
is a forgivable one. The other one is not forgivable.
Right, possibly. Yeah. I mean, we're not really talking about the thought here. We're really talking about the action in this case.
Yeah.
The thought is
my point.
Right.
That's why somebody takes it out. The action is there, finished. That was my point.
Right, okay. I hear, but I still think that could be accidental.
Okay. Okay.
Bottom line, though, Frank, one second.
Yeah.
So again, the idea is it is me'ila right now. Sprinkling may or may not be effective now that you've made this mistake. Are you more of a Rabbi Akiva guy, more of a Rabbi Eliezer guy? I mean, I always have
like
to side with my namesake.
I'm a Rabbi Akiva guy.
I don't know. But is Rabbi Akiva saying that, let's say you lost one of the sacrifices, so you found the replacement,
mm-hmm.
and then you found the other one afterwards, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you have both of them. Is he saying that just as you may have lost it, you could have also brought it out of the temple area and come back? That could fit into losing it.
So yeah, he's equating the two cases to a degree. He's saying in that case we know what the halacha is, and the halacha basically is that even if you slaughtered it nevertheless, which you weren't supposed to do, okay? Once you slaughtered that, once you slaughtered the one that you were bringing, that should have been the end of it. But yet you slaughtered another one, which had, again, been lost slash, as you say, left. And yet, that is taken out of Me'ila by the sprinkling of the blood of whichever one was first. So too here, again, this one that left the courtyard is like the one that got lost, so to say. And the sprinkling of the blood, even though, again, it wasn't correct for you to have done that because it left, ultimately does have an effect and does take it out of Me'ila.
Yeah.
That's exactly Rabbi Akiva's argument.
Okay, thanks.
Perfect. So the Gemara asks the question that we already started foreshadowing yesterday. V'hani tarti lamali. Why do you need to bring the machlokas twice? We got the idea the first time, right? In the first case, it's Basar Kachim Kadashim. The second case is Kachim Kalim. But it's the same logic. Says the Gemara, Tzricha. Trichi, they are both necessary. De'i itmar b'katshe kadashim, had I only said this machlokes in regards to katshe kadashim, hava amina, I would have thought. B'haka amar Rabbi Eliezer mo'alin bo, mishum dezrika ketikna. You know why Rabbi Eliezer says that there is mi'ila over here, that mi'ila remains? Because it's only true that zrika ketikna mafka midei mi'ila. Only a regular proper zrika takes it out of mi'ila, but shalokitik, an improper zrika, lo mafka midei mi'ila, does not take it out of mi'ila. Meaning we would have thought that had the Mishnah just told us the first case of katshe kadashim, I would have said, you know why Rabbi Eliezer says that that in this case there is mi'ila? It's because when an improper sprinkling does not have the ability to remove mi'ila, but maybe you would have said it does have the ability to bring mi'ila. Again, you would have said that maybe in the case of katshe kadashim, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that there still is mi'ila because an improper sprinkling doesn't have the ability to delete, to remove the mi'ila status. But you might have thought that, well, again, maybe in the case of katshim kalim, it would be able to bring mi'ila, right? And that's what the next line is over here. I should have just read along. This is the problem with having, again, these weird paginations. But to bring me'ila, modi le Rebbe Akiva, da fil shalo kitikna ma'isin le'ila. But maybe he would agree to Rebbe Akiva in the case of Kajim Kalim that shalo kitikna can bring me'ila. Meaning it's a lot easier to tell the guy there is me'ila than to remove an already existing deoraita me'ila. To say there's a new me'ila, okay, big deal. Maybe then he would agree to Rebbe Akiva. So that's why we said katshe kadashim. Vi itmar gabi katshim kalim. Sorry, that's why we said also katshim kalim. But if it was just said by katshim kalim, vi itmar gabi katshim kalim, hava amina gabi katshim kalim, hu damar Rabbi Akiva ma'olin behen. I would have thought that if the only machlokes was said by katshim kalim, I would have thought that's why Rabbi Akiva says that there's mi'ila. De afilu zrika shaloki tikna ma'isi midei mi'ila. That he would say that any type of zrika can bring mi'ila. But when it comes to katshe kadashim, we're trying to remove mi'ila. Shelo kitikna lo mafkalin de mi'ila. I would have thought that according to Rabbi Akiva, having a sprinkling which is not done properly would not have the ability again to take it out because taking it out is harder. Okay? Kamash malan. That's what it comes to teach us. That's why we have both cases of katshe kadashim and katshim kalim, because if we would have had one, we wouldn't have understood the opinion of the other in the other case. All good? Okay, fairly traditional going back and forth, Srichusa, yeah. That we see in the Gemara. Okay, Itmar. The following was said. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'eles Layotze. When Rabbi Akiva said that sprinkling helps something that has gone out. Okay, so again. Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that Zrika Mo'eles Layotze, something that went out and then Zrika is done and it works. Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this tremendously, and he says, Shiyasa miktsaso, only when it partially left. Okay, I presume that means some of the animal actually exited. Exactly. Okay? He's got one leg out the door.
Yeah.
So, Aval yotze kulo, but if the entire thing went out, then lo amar Rabbi Akiva. Really, in that case, Rabbi Akiva would agree the sprinkling can't help you. Exactly. Okay? So this is again a new statement, qualifying very much the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, making it very close to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Okay, the only case to argue is if some of the animal went out. Amar le Rav Asi le Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi said to Rabbi Yochanan, okay, Rabbi Yochanan, Kfar limduni chaveray shebagola. My friends over there in, my friends over there in Bavel, mechashvin al ha'avud, they already taught me mechashvin al ha'avud ve'al hasaruf. Okay, so basically said that we can think about something which is lost and something which is burnt.
Piggle.
Okay, which means exactly mechashvin over here refers to piggle, and if you had something that was already lost or already burned, there even is a piggle thought that relates to that. Okay, ask the Gemara. Okay. The avud v'saruf. Okay, now what's he essentially saying to Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, v'avud v'saruf lo isinun ba'olam v'afilu achi k'dami mechashvin. Not sure this is the Gemara or Rav Asi here. It may still be Rav Asi, right? And says Rav. I presume it's Rav Asi actually, and that this is not an analysis of the Gemara. This is Rav Asi analyzing the statement of of Chazal, Mechashven Alavad Valasarf. So we got to correct. I think, on a simple level, that's what. You agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
They have the Gemara analyzes the statement. I don't think that's the case. I'm getting. No, so Mechashven Alavad Valasarf is a quote from the Chaverai Shebagola that Rav Asi is saying, my friends already taught me. And he's asking Rabbi Yochanan, again, they say it's the Gemara, but I don't have a Rashi here. Maybe Rashi disagrees with this or agrees with this. But the point is, Rav Asi says to Rabbi Yochanan, you're telling me that if it left fully, that Rabbi Akiva would not say that the sprinkling is effective? That's not true. Because something that's avud, lost, or saruf, burnt, is not in the world anymore, lo yisinu ba'olam, but nevertheless, vafilu hachi, katani mechashvin, and still there is a pigal thought, okay? And, I mean, I'll read you here, these are things that Koren, again, Steinsaltz is great at. It can be derived from here that if the entire offering left the courtyard, which is comparable to a case where it was lost, like Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah, okay? The sprinkling is effective with regard to the halachot of misuse according to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because we see pigle still works in that scenario. The sprinkling is enough again in regards to pigle.
So he translates Meila as misuse.
Yeah, that's
misuse.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's his translation of Meila.
Yeah,
not a terrible translation. And sometimes when it is good, I don't think I used that when I was writing in the past.
We used unacceptable, but misuse is. Is
well, unacceptable use.
Yeah.
Right? Mila, we said, was definitely using it.
Yeah.
Yes. But the point is, says Rav Asi to Rabbi Yochanan, what are you telling me that Rabbi Akiva would not agree if it fully left the courtyard? Absolutely he would agree, because we see that there is pigle, even in case of a lost korban. And that would mean that therefore there is should be Mi'ila even when it fully left the courtyard. Okay? Again, I'll have to look this up afterwards, but I don't think it's true that this is the Gemara statement. Ask the Gemara, now it's the Gemara. Umi Amar Rav Asi Hachi. Did Rav Asi really say such a thing? Haba Amini Rav Asi Mi Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi asked the following from Rabbi Yochanan one time. You see, Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan were very good friends over here, because this is what he was asking him. Chishev Lanishpachin Limachar Mahu. Okay? If he thought about the Nishpachin. Okay, so basically. We know, again, in Yisimakom and elsewhere, that the leftover blood would be poured somewhere, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever you sowed. The leftover blood, That's where you would pour it. Okay, you would pour it in a certain place.
Foundation.
On the foundation, right? Whichever one.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him about the following case. Let's say you thought, okay, that you're going to pour the blood on the wrong day. Okay, again, you thought you're going to pour the blood on the wrong day. Okay, so this is leftover blood post-sprinkling. He thought, I'm going to pour it on the wrong day. What's the halacha? And this is what he asked Rabbi Yochanan. Amar le Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera interjects. He was there during this conversation between Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. And he says, Kfar shanisa lanu alal. Okay? You already told us about an alal. Okay, what is an alal exactly? I saw this yesterday already. No one's quite sure exactly what an alal is. There's a machlokas amorayim and chulin. That's what he brings over here. Yes. Yes, that's Rashi says that, no?
Esophagus.
Yeah. No, that's not a gid. Esophagus is not a gid. Gid is like
it's a flight to.
Sorry?
It's a muscle, no?
It's a flight to Israel. Hello.
Ha 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 ha. So, yeah, so. It's a tendon. A tendon. A tendon. That's what a gid is. A gid is a tendon, yeah. So that's one.
You get an ashes inside the nerve.
Yeah. So two opinions that I saw brought, which he brings over here in the notes. Okay. One option is that again it's this tendon of the neck, or others say that it's actually dead flesh, just dead flesh within the animal. But the bottom line is this is something that's not really considered part of the animal. Okay. And Rabbi Zera says to him, "You already taught us about an alal." What about an alal did you teach you? Again, what's going on over here? He says, okay, that Alma hai alal kevan deles behu mashasha lo kibel tuma. That the halacha is such an alal, again, whatever an alal is, since it doesn't have any real substance to it, it's not mekabel tuma. Okay? which apparently will help explain our case. How does that explain the case? Hani nishpachin nami kevan delibur azli behu machshava lo mahanya, or lo mahanya behu machshava, whatever the read is. Whatever the read is. So, how is he answering the question? What is going on here? This is a little bit, again, confusing. So, here's what's happening. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Akiva only is talking about where you partially left the courtyard. Rav Asi challenged him by saying, no, he would say it even when you fully left the courtyard, because Avud and Saruf are equivalent, and Avud and Saruf, we know that there is Pigul, therefore there should be Me'ila, even when it fully left the courtyard. We're now challenging, okay, because Rav Asi himself asked Rabbi Yochanan, what's the halacha if blood was spilled at the wrong time, that you had intention on the wrong time?
This is after Zrika.
Correct, post-Zrika. Again, this is spilling the rest over blood. Yeah, yeah.
Is that still considered Pigul?
And this is the question. That's his question.
It's not because it has no substance. That's what they're arguing.
So, and now the Rabbi Zeira is coming in and saying, if it has no substance, it's meaningless. So too over here, hani nishpachin kevan deli inami kevan deli but azli lo mahani yabu machshava. There's not going to be any Pigul in that case because these are fluff. These are nothing. Okay?
People don't need it.
So basically, what this proves to us is that, according to this opinion, which Rav Asi seemed to have accepted, things that are meaningless and nothing, or lost, or otherwise, do not, therefore, have Pigul. So how could Rav Asi be challenging Rav Yochanan to say that there is Pigul by lost things, if here it sounds like he would say there's no Pigul by lost things? In which case, maybe Rabbi Yochanan's original statement is still correct, right? Because we're so many levels in deep here. Okay.
I was trying to. You were saying what's going on here, and then there was. I'm not sure. There was some sort of like interruption. So we got to ask you.
Sure. So let's just summarize where we are. Again, Rabbi Yochanan qualified Rabbi Akiva by saying that Rabbi Akiva was only speaking about a case where it partially left the courtyard. Rav Asi challenged Rabbi Yochanan by saying that in a case where it gets lost, which is analogous to a case of fully leaving the courtyard, nevertheless there is Pigul, which should mean that Rabbi Akiva would even say when it fully left the courtyard that there is Mi'ila. The Gemara then says, one second, did Rav Asi really challenge Rabbi Yochanan in this manner? We have a separate interaction between Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Zeira, in which Rav Asi seems to accept that something which is lost or quote-unquote useless, like, for example, the extra blood that is poured on the base of the Mizbeach, on the foundation, as well as this alal, which is dead meat in the body or something like that, or some sinew that's really not part of the animal. In those cases, we see that they are insignificant and therefore there is no Pigul there. So how could Rav Asi be challenging Rabbi Yochanan by saying that there is Pigul by this other case where something gets lost or is already burnt? How does that work? Okay? Then the Gemara asks the question, Ala dekatani ala avad v'ala saruf kasha. So says the Gemara, it's true that we can say that, but this is really, right, not a question on how Rav Asi could object. It's a question on Allah Avad Vala Saraf. If we look back, we said that the Chaveirai Shebegol, again, the Babylonians taught him that Mechashvin Allah Avad Vala Saraf. So that's really a contradiction to this. So how can we say that? Says the Gemara, Marav, Rav answers, Ema Al Ha'omed Li'ibud V'Al Ha'omed Li'Saraf. Says Rava, it's very simple. It's not avud visarov, something that was already burnt or something that was already lost. That's not the case. Those things are in fact not present. Those things are not in the world at all. Those things are completely out of and removed. And in fact, according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Asi, if you thought on something which was not there at all, yeah, there wouldn't be pigul. But rather, it's al ha'omed li'ibud v'al ha'omed li'sarif. Okay, something that has the ability to be lost and the ability to be burnt, meaning it hasn't yet physically been lost or burnt, but we're foreshadowing again, and it might be lost and it might be burnt, since at that time everything was there. Nevertheless, the pigul remains. Okay? However, okay, what this teaches us is that really in a case of something actually lost, something that actually left the fully, something that actually fully left the courtyard, something that actually, again, was meat residue not attached to the animal, or the blood that was meant to be spilled. In all of these cases, therefore, the conclusion would be no me'ila, no piggle. It's out. It's finished. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying about Rabbi Akiva, that he only speaks when it's partially left. But if it fully left, the Gemara's conclusion is he would agree that to Rabbi Eliezer, that in fact, in that case, it's out, it's done, it's finished. And all of these other cases in between, we explain in line with that, of saying, Ala omeid li ibud, vala omeid li sarif.
If they have the potential to be out, they're still piggle.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, everything has the potential to be out and the potential to be burned. I think we're saying is when it actually happened later on.
Yeah, I think they're talking about the time immediately before the Zrika, where there's Machshava.
Correct.
At the coin, immediately before the
there's a chance they could be lost over.
Yep.
That's what they're talking about.
Yep. So I think that's what they're saying. Okay.
That's what the homemade means it's waiting or standing.
Correct. That's what I said. We're foreshadowing that it's going to be lost, it's going to be burned, but nevertheless, it's still here now.
That's right.
So yes.
Exactly. Potential is the right word. It could put
yes, it's definitely more than potential.
Right.
Yeah. It's more than potential, even. It's, again, destined. It's destined. That's the better word. I like that word. Doesn't say that here. He says stand, which, again, is a best. It's a great literal translation.
They don't have the word for it.
It stands to be. No, we would say in English sometimes it stands to be X, it stands to be Y. But destined, I like destined.
Yeah, destined.
It's the animal's destiny. Sounds spooky. I don't know. Okay. Amar of Papa. Rav Papa said, "Lo, Amar Rabbi Akiva Zrika Moelas LaYotze Ella Sheyatza Basar." Rabbi Akiva's statement in the Mishnah was only talking about back to Rabbi Akiva's statement. So again, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion the sprinkling really helps, even if it was brought out. Again, we had just qualified that by saying only when it partially went out. But says Rav Papa, Zrika only helps, again, to remove it from Meila, or in some cases bring Meila, only where you took out the meat. Aval dam. But if you take out the blood, in Zrika Moelas Layotze, Zrika will not help that which has gone out. If you took out the blood, that's, you know, there's nothing you can do at that point, basically. It will not help you. Again, says the Gemara.
He's talking about taking the meat out, not the animal, after the Shechita. No?
Yeah, but not the blood that was
accepted. He hasn't sprinkled the blood yet.
What?
Hasn't sprinkled the blood yet. What do you do? If the meat is taken out before you sprinkle, that's what he's talking about, no?
The meat, yes.
Yeah. But nobody says that.
But I'm talking about if you took out the blood.
Yeah.
Okay, you did Kabbalah Saddam and then you took the blood out.
And the meat was taken out.
Who cares what happened to the meat? Okay. His point is to say if the blood left, okay, that case is not effective. Yes, and he has over here, NH, this, that, I don't know what he has over here.
H, we can well, that's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, but anyways, the bringing out the blood is a lot worse. Tani nami hachi. Okay, we also learned this in a braita. Shachad bishtika, if you slaughtered it silently, okay, silently means you didn't have any intent. Okay, you didn't have anything, you didn't think anything, piggle, anything. V'yatza dam.
So that's good.
Yes. No piggle here. Okay. We're piggle free. Okay. We can put it in the label, right? Not free. It's, my daughter is allergic to sesame. Fortunately, in higher concentration, fortunately not life-threatening. But, you know, so sesame-free, not free.
Piggle-free.
Piggle-free.
Piggle-free meat.
Shachat b'shtika. I would say that's probably a good hechsher to have, piggle-free meat. Shachat b'shtika v'yatz adam. Okay, if you slaughtered it, again, no thoughts. And then the blood came out. Afal pi shechazer uzrako. Even though you brought the blood back in, you sprinkled it. Lo asa v'lo klum. What you did is meaningless. It is absolutely nothing. Because Shekadashim, all in bone, Kachikadashim, it remains in the status of Me'ila, even though you sprinkled it, even though you didn't have any piggle thoughts. Doesn't matter. Bekachim Kalim, Ein Mo'al in bone. And in Kachim Kalim, again, there is no Me'ila. Okay, so this is the. Do you want to start the next part over here? Again, ultimately what we're saying is that this remains in the same status it was before, supporting the opinion of Rav Papa. Let's try to try to make it down to the bottom.
The two lines, there's a tanya.
Rabbi Eliezer.
No. This is just supporting Rav Papa's statement that Rabbi Akiva is only talking about the meat and not about the blood.
Okay.
Because look, in this braisa that says that if you did the blood is absolutely ineffective. And why should we assume exactly that this is arguing on Rabbi Akiva? Let's assume that this is in line with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva as well. But ultimately, yes, Rabbi Akiva could argue on a braisa. He's a tana. So. Okay. Amar Akiva, hazel lema domeh. This is a very challenging Gemara, but again, we'll start it a little bit. Okay. So this was Rabbi Akiva made the comparison, right, to this whole case over here, back in the Mishnah where you had the chatas and it was lost, and then you refound it, and then you brought it, you slaughtered them both. The sprinkling of the blood of one takes them both, okay, takes them both out of Mi'ilah. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, presumably the Amora, says, Ki Amar Rabbi Akiva bevas achas. When did Rabbi Akiva say that basically there's an analogous case? Is when you shechted both of them bevas achas at one time. Okay? Meaning you had two kohanim, three, two, one.
Yeah.
Okay? Aval bezeach harzeh lo amar Rabbi Akiva. But if you would have slaughtered one and then slaughtered another one, okay, then Rabbi Akiva would not have agreed with you. Okay?
Yeah, because he's...
Why? Because... Sorry?
They're independent.
Because then they would be independent, yeah. And if they would be independent, more so, the halacha is, as soon as one is slaughtered, the other one becomes aser. Mm-hmm. Okay? As soon as one is slaughtered, the other one becomes aser. So even if you sprinkled the meat, apparently that can't be taken out from Me'ilah in that case. That is what he'll be saying over here. We'll start with Tanya Naru Shimon tomorrow. Hopefully I'll remember to bring home my Gemara, and then we'll be back to normal. Interesting experience using this. There's some things where it's very useful, and some things that it's...
There's too much page turning there. This is what I told you.
I don't mind the page turning so much. Again, I'm not sure that this is true, that this is said by this person. And some things are again, more helpful, some things are less helpful. It's a good experience, nevertheless.
Yeah, no, if you're doing it intensively... If you're doing line by line and expanding, that's good.
Okay, just a second, Jonathan.